Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One. This is Beyond a Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Gary Smith.
Smiling because I went by one of those Adopt-A-Mutt kind of mobile things yesterday, and one of the dogs who I just loved was this kind of a white pit bull mix, and its name was Dawson.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It was just fantastic. I came very close to adopting Dawson. Welcome to a special Sunday version of Bard. And Gary and I are going to go, we're going to go a little off the beaten path because there was a case that didn't get a whole lot of attention. And there's been some kind of snippets of video around it. And I think we've got a different take than most people, but Gary, you want to introduce it? And Friday afternoon, I guess I'll set the table. DOJ, and I forget the name of the person, I think it was Graves from DOJ, announced that they were not going to indict Mark Meadows, former chief of staff for President Trump. And who was the other deputy chief of staff they were not going to indict, Gary?
Dan Scavino, who I believe his title has been social media manager for the Trump campaign. He's sort of been Trump's body man at times, I think, during the presidency. He's kind of been, his Twitter has been a lot of shots out the window of Marine One and stuff like that. So he's been very clearly close to the former president.
Right. So those two, even though the House basically referred him over for criminal charges to DOJ, DOJ declined. However, they did indict or file charges on Peter Navarro, who has variously been referred to as a trade rep, economist, PhD, and COVID person or point man. And there is a video of him. Do you have it, Gary?
Yes, I do. Here we go.
FBI, instead of calling me and say, hey, we need you down at court, we've got a warrant for you, I would have gladly come. What did they do? They intercepted me getting on the plane. And then they put me in handcuffs. They bring me here. They put me in leg irons. They stick me in a cell. By the way, just historical note, I was in John Hinckley's cell. They seem to think that that was like an important historical note. Okay, that's punitive. That what they did to me today violated the Constitution.
Now, there's I don't disagree with him in this sense.
We've talked about this, you know, quite a bit on Reasonable Doubt over the years. You know, you've got someone who's not accused of a violent crime, who's not accused of using a weapon. You know, they're a member of the legal system. Why are we going at them with a pre-dawn raid or getting them at the airport? Why not just call their lawyer and let's have them show up?
First thing I thought about with the airport is every time the FBI or law enforcement makes a arrest at the airport, they're always their default is they were fleeing the jurisdiction. They're fleeing. We had to get them before they fleed, or they'll run in and get an arrest warrant
on a commercial flight.
Right. Yeah.
You show ID more for a commercial flight than any other activity in normal American life.
And you go through, by the way, you also go through more security apparatus.
Exactly. let people scan every belonging you have with you. Like, what are we talking about? Fleeing the jurisdiction.
I'm with Navarro, even though ideologically we may disagree on many things.
Same.
But I'm totally with him. He's got a stellar point. Now, then there's been a reaction to this. And mind you, for those who aren't in the weeds on this, he was supposed to, or was subpoenaed by the House committee on investigating January 6th to cooperate with them to provide information either by way of testimony or documents. Both Mark Meadows and Scavino declined, although Meadows did provide documents.
9,000 documents. 9,000.
Not an insignificant amount, but refused to testify. All three of these guys said that President Trump invoked privilege, executive privilege, and therefore were not going to waive the privilege because the holder of the privilege was the president. Now, there is an argument that President Biden now is the one who holds the executive privilege and is declining. But that is not as clear cut as people are making it out. But there's been some people who have commented who I think would be better suited to making the argument that why is the Department of Justice, and I think this is interesting, they apparently have closed the issue as to Mark Meadows. And
Scavino, to my understanding.
Correct. And the chief of staff, deputy chief of staff, who made the argument that we were consulting. There is a thing called executive privilege. We were consulting with the president, and the DOJ basically said, we accept that, or if we don't accept it, we think it's a gray area enough that we don't believe that we could get a conviction, nor should we on that. But somehow they made the distinction with Navarro and went out and arrested him as he was boarding a flight. And now there is a former congressman, or maybe he's a current congressman, Louis Gohmert, who I think, Gary, correct me if I'm wrong, is a former judge. Is he not?
I am not confident on that. Let me look it up. Okay. But
look it up while we'll play one of his sound bites.
Yeah, absolutely. He was a former jurist serving as a U.S. representative, and he's currently serving as a U.S. representative from Texas's first congressional district. It's also worth noting, by the way, before I fire this up, that the Scavino and Meadows, their decision to just let those go by the wayside comes after several months of their attorneys negotiating what was under executive privilege, what was not. This was not like they took a look at it and they moved on. There were long negotiations about how their testimony would take place, and then it just went out the window. But here's Representative Louis Gohmert commenting.
If you're a Republican, you can't even lie to Congress or lie to an FBI agent, or they're coming after you. They're going to bury you. They're going to put you in the D.C. jail and terrorize and torture you and not live up to the Constitution.
Yeah, that would not have been the argument I would have been making. I think I would have been making the argument, which is, I think, a very credible argument, that be careful what you wish for if you're the House. And remember, this is basically contempt of the House. And right now, Democrats are in control. Most people suspect that is not going to have a long shelf life. And you're going to have a situation, and here specifically, where there is a privilege that needs to be decided, a privilege just like there's an attorney-client privilege, mm-hmm. a physician-patient privilege, a privilege when you talk with your clergyman, and there is a executive privilege. Now, the executive privilege clearly carried the day for Mark Meadows, clearly carried the day for Dan Scavino, and they announced that at the same time they announced that they were proceeding against Peter Navarro. I don't know how you make the distinctions. I understand, at least intellectually, how they made the distinction with Steve Bannon, and he's litigating that, but Bannon was also filed uncriminally, but Bannon, the argument was, I suppose, internally in the DOJ, that Bannon was not employed in government, was not working in government at the time that this concerned. Here, you've got a situation where they have indicted or filed criminal charges, and they're making a distinction and at least recognizing that arguably executive privilege applies to Mark Meadows. It applies to Scavino, but it doesn't apply to Navarro. That, to me, it raises some really, really significant issues, number one. But I don't know that we're ever going to get to it. Let me predict why. If Republicans take the House in November and they vacate, nunk-pro-tunk, the subpoena to Navarro, then the very basis upon which DOJ proceeded on Friday evaporates. And then where are you at that point?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's look, if you're Navarro's lawyer, you're salivating at the fact that this all happens the exact same day. I mean, that's where you're going to build your whole case, I would assume. I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong, but That's what you call bad facts in evidence, as you are so fond of.
It's exactly right. I mean, the fact that the DOJ, and I think rightfully so, is making a distinction and has closed the case as that was what they articulated as to the other two, but not as to Navarro. And if they're going to say that that somehow his portfolio or somehow his job description is outside of the advice that concerns the January 6th committee's what they're looking for, I'm not so sure that's a solid legal argument.
I'm not either. Now, we didn't necessarily prep for this beforehand, but I think we have to go to another unfortunate comment made in the legal realm this weekend, and that, of course, is in the world of the NFL, where we have a lot going on with Roger Goodell and hopefully Colin Kaepernick news breaking soon, which we touch on a little bit with Ace. But I thought it interesting this week that while on the radio, a lawyer for Deshaun Watson decided to proclaim that happy endings are not illegal. I thought that was fantastic.
Rusty Harden, I believe. Yeah. And by the way, I was shocked when in Rhode Island, where we do a fair amount of work, I'm told that happy endings are clearly not illegal in Rhode Island.
where in the world of the NFL could we have learned that, Mark?
Rusty is my vintage, and we're always shocked to find out things that are not illegal as opposed to the kind of encroachment of constant criminality that surrounds us.
I got to be honest, if I'm hiring a legal counsel and this is the subject, I'm not sure Rusty Harden is the guy that I would, pick from the 35,000 foot view, but maybe that's easier to say with hindsight.
People can say what they want about Rusty. He came out firing with Deshaun, and
I'm saying name only.
Not one, but two grand juries rejected criminal charges.
He has been doing fantastic. I was purely making a comment on the name and the irony surrounding it. A Rusty Harden doesn't exactly sound like the end of a massage that anyone wants. So I think we might have to.
There's a lot of dad jokes surrounding that, which I won't go to.
And I have a son with dual eye infections right now. So dad jokes is all I got. I'm stuck in the house trying not to get sick myself. So Mark, thank you so much for your time on a Sunday. We appreciate it. And we'll be back Tuesday with a Beyond a Reasonable Doubt with a Adam Carolla in studio. And we'll have a full week of content for everyone.
You got it. Thanks, Gary.
All right. Thanks, Mark. You have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. Stay tuned for more bonus episodes coming soon.